This is Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle on ESPN 960. And it's time for Keeping Up with the Cougars, brought to you by DentalProsOfUtah.com.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, WasatchMedicalClinic.com studios. Stop living with ED, live without it today at Wasatch Medical Clinic. It is time for a Keeping Up with the Cougar segment. Going to get caught up on all the news and notes of former players, how their work is going, how their families are, and talk some BYU football with them as well. It's going to be brought to you by Dental Pros of Utah, DentalProsOfUtah.com. If you've been told you need a filling, you need a crown, you need a root canal, get a second opinion at Dental Pros of Utah and American Fork as they utilize the best biomimetic techniques. These are minimally invasive techniques to rebuild your teeth. Layer by layer, you don't have to settle for the fake teeth, the crowns and root canals later on in life. Choose biomimetics. Choose Kevlar fibers to rebuild your teeth rather than the old school way of doing it. All right, let's welcome in a sack master, right? We're always Cougar Nation over the last, I want to say since the Kalani Sitake era began in 2016, have been hoping, praying, yearning for more sacks, more pressures, getting a quarterback off target, getting them uncomfortable, not having 8 seconds to just scan the field and throw the ball wherever they want to. It seems, at least from the BYU perspective, that that's been one of the biggest issues. So I want to bring in a guy that knows how to get after the quarterback, a former BYU great, representing the glory days of BYU. The 80s, 1981, 1983, 1984, he tallied 26 sacks. I believe he's number six all-time in BYU football history. Cal Van Noy tied him. He's tied with Cal Van Noy. So that's the level of player this young man is. And when I say young, he is young. He's full of vigor and vim. Let's welcome in the big man, Jim Herman, from Wisconsin, man. How in the heck did you come
to Provo?
Wisconsin, bro.
Man, that's a long story. Yeah, Midwesterner, non-member, never heard of BYU, and didn't know any Mormons back in the, or later, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I apologize. I corrected there. But, yeah, it was an awesome time in my life. It was the best decision I ever made. I was just talking to someone about it today. I think my 4 years of active playing, we were 44 and 3, one of the two. And so it was awesome. And Steve Young and Lee Johnson were my two best friends, two first guys I met when I stepped on campus. And we lived together all through college and after college and met the best friends of my life and had an awesome experience with fortunate enough to be on that national championship team. I was captain of the team, which I'm super proud of. One of my great honors that was bestowed on me in life. And just cannot say more about my BYU experience. Phenomenal experience.
And one of the few, the proud former BYU defensive lineman that got drafted. Not very many defensive linemen have been drafted from BYU. You were one of the few that made it to the league. So the resume is beautiful, and the career was awesome. But give us an update, Jim, before we get it back to BYU football discussions. Give us an update on work, family, all the things. Where you live in, what are you up to, brother?
Awesome. Yeah, I live in Draper, Utah. Still coach high school football. I coached at Corner Canyon for years, and now I coach at Sky Ridge. So we were the 6A state champs this last year, beat Corner Canyon in a heck of a game up at the stadium. Was a great time. Honestly, it was interesting. We've gotten close a couple of years. Every year, really, we've made the semifinals or more. But I remember game day thinking, yeah, this would be cool if we win, I guess. You know, it'll be great for the kids and stuff. And if we lose, hey, you know, we lost in the final game and we've had an unbelievable season. But then we get up there and it was a great experience. It was a great day, perfect day for football, and played Corner Canyon really tough. We had a phenomenal defense at Sky Ridge, which is really nice to be part of and be around some phenomenal players. And we ended up winning, and it was about, you know, 2 minutes to go. I remember looking up at the clock going, we're going to win this thing. And it was just pure joy and elation along the sidelines. It was great to see the kids that have just worked their rear ends off and you know, show up day in, day out and do everything they're asked of and playing a great game and do what they were supposed to do and pull it off. It was really, really, really fun. Really kind of exceeded my expectations from a joy standpoint. And then we drove down to – Lehigh, where Sky Ridge is kind of in North Lehigh, right there by Highland. And it was great. We were driving down. We were following the buses, the coaches. We had the trophy in our car and in our truck. And we got off there. Look off to the side. There's a helicopter. I'm thinking, man, there must be a bad accident. That's the KSL helicopter. It was cool. They ended up following us down. They did this kind of impromptu parade. There were 20, 30 cop cars when we pulled into the Lehigh parking lot, and they flipped on all their lights and closed down all the intersections and drove us through town. And people were coming out of their homes and standing along the road and clapping for the kids. It honestly was just an awesome experience, and it was really fun to be part of.
Yeah, I love that you're giving back to the community, still coaching. You've been doing it for a long time. It's a part of your genome, man. Football is courses through your veins, and so it's great to see you giving back continually. So what are you doing for work besides coaching, though, right? I know you're staying busy outside of just coaching.
I work with my old teammate and best friend, Steve Young. We have a private equity firm called HGGC, which really stands for Huntsman Gay Global Capital. We are a $7.5 billion middle market private equity firm. We invest in great businesses and people. Have made some really nice investments in the state of Utah. We own parts and pieces and majorities of companies all around the globe. And I'm one of their business development officers. So I think the best job in the world. I get to go out and meet with founders and owners, entrepreneurs, and management teams of great companies that might be looking for a financial sponsor or investment dollars from a firm like us. And I get to form a relationship and learn about their business and network into our firm and turn it over to the smart guys. And we dig in and see if it makes sense from their point of view and our point of view. And if it does, we make an investment, we become partners and can continue to help grow and help companies flourish and become larger enterprises. And it's been a great thing, and I'm blessed to work with unbelievably smart people, and one of them happens to be my best friend, as well as a bunch of other people from all around the globe and different schools and MBA programs from all around the country. So it's been amazing, and I love it. It's a great time. I've got three boys. They all played football, two at Alta, one at Corner Canyon. They're doing amazing things in life. They're all married. I actually have a grandbaby, which blows my mind.
Congrats,
and
man.
They're smart. They're smarter than I and more successful than I am. So I'm grateful. And I got an amazing wife who's a kindergarten teacher who weirdly still likes me. I think I can use the other L word. I think she still loves me. I think I better check. But she's doing good, changing the world one kindergartner at a time. And then a big part of our firm is philanthropy. So Steve and I were in law school together, he formed a foundation called the Forever Young Foundation, which continues to thrive and grow. It's just gotten bigger and better. Our firm has and the foundation have kind of joined forces, and a lot of our portfolio companies from around the United States and other parts of the world have been exposed to what we do and have become benefactors to our foundation. And it just continues to grow and bless people's lives. And you know, we try to really target great charities and great philanthropic opportunities that are really grassroots run, where they have very low overhead and they do phenomenal things for people by really changing their lives, either physically, mentally, emotionally, to help them become better people, you know, and help the situations that they're in. And we've partnered with a lot of great charities. One of them is the Adaptive Skier Program at Snowbird. I think it's our 38th year that we've been affiliated with them. With Steve and Lee and I were just graduated from BYU when the guy who ran the program, Peter Mandler, reached out to us. I think the first year we raised $8,000 in the first night, and I think seven of it came from Steve. And this last year we raised over $1 million in one night for the Adaptive Steer program. So that foundation's come a long way and does amazing things for all sorts of people along the Wasatch Front and really throughout America. People fly in to be part of that program. So it's been cool. I'm blessed. I have a full life, and I'm still healthy and happy and have a great family, and I enjoy what I do, and I get to be part of things where I get to, in some way, shape, or form, give back in a small way, either through helping, you know, from a service standpoint, but with time and effort, or actually helping raise funds to direct to really, really good people. So it's been a great ride. It's the best thing I ever did, was making my decision to go to BYU. It's changed a lot of things in my life for the better, and I'm grateful for it.
BYU Built is Jim Herman, and I love it. I got to give credit to the family as well, the genetics, the culture you were brought up in. And we got the one of the best sack getters in BYU football history, the executive director of HGGC. Check it out, HGGC.com, if you want to learn more about it, what Jim does on a day-to-day basis. Love that your family's doing well, too. Jim, wanted to get your thoughts on the new defensive coaching staff. It sounds like they're going to be a bit more aggressive.
Yeah.
I had my former teammate Kelly Papinga on the show yesterday, and he's like, man, we're just going to be a bit more aggressive. And I know guys like you, men of stature, men of length, men of quarterback sacking ability, you like what you're hearing right now.
I love what I'm hearing right now. And you know, it's super hard, right, to be a critic or you know, offer, you know, your opinion if it's not always positive. And so I'm just kind of getting that out front, because I know people that have been involved with the program and coaches have the best intent and want to do the best, but certainly it's not my style of defense that they played. I'm fortunate enough right now to coach in a system at Sky Ridge where we are an aggressive defense, right? A passive defense almost seems like an oxymoron. Those two things don't seem to go together, where I just think aggression and defense are synonymous. And John Lehman, who's the head coach of Sky Ridge, is a great defense coordinator. He's basically the defense coordinator of outside of being the head coach. And I get to be part of that staff. And we are an aggressive defense. And I think we were number one in the state in every defensive category this year. We have been almost every year for the last 4 or 5 years. And a lot of it has to do with the system. It's not like we get the best players in the state, although we've got some really, really good ones. But when you believe in a system and the system has an identity, I believe that players then take on that identity. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And now, if you're going to go to Sky Ridge, you are going to be, and you're going to play on the defensive side of the ball, you're going to be in a defense that's aggressive, that brings the heat, that makes it uncomfortable for quarterbacks, that plays the run, that is man-to-man and plays matchup zones and on the defensive, you know, coverage side of the ball. And we make it uncomfortable for offenses. And I've, as a fan of BYU, to be honest with you, have really, really, really struggled with what's been going on down there. And the perplexing thing to me is that, you know, both Kalani and Lysa came from the defense that I was raised in, which was Fred Whittingham's defense, which was Kyle's dad, which we played back in the day. I mean, Kyle still runs that defense. And, you know, the one thing you know about Utah football, and I think the one thing that Utah's identity that transcends college football throughout America is they play amazing defense. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you're going to go to Utah and you're going to play defense, you're going to be aggressive. You're going to bring the heat. If you're a cover guy, you're going to play great man. If you're a front seven guy, you're going to learn to rush the passer. You're going to be aggressive when it comes to filling gaps. And it just perpetuates itself. And so I am just so grateful that they've made a change. And I can't see it being anything but better, because I don't know how much worse it could have got. And I know that sounds super critical, but I'm just really hopeful that they become aggressive. And it's ironic. I think I've heard some of these, I don't know if excuse is the right word, but reasons for the reason they land their last defense is, oh, I don't know if we've got the athletes. I don't know if we have this. I don't know if we have that. Well, one, let's recruit better, because I think we can do a better job of that. And two, you know, I've watched this play SUU. I watched this play Colorado State. I watched this play Wyoming. I watched this play these other teams where they're not getting the cream of the crop. But you know what? They got aggressive defenses that are bringing it on us, putting pressure on our quarterback, filling gaps, playing man, playing. And so I'm thinking, how can those schools that have significantly lower tiered programs than ours have good enough athletes to play an aggressive style of defense, but we can't? So I hope some of those things go away. I hope some of those things go out the window. And I hope, you know, we really start to become a defensive program that plays tough, hard-nosed defense and puts pressure on the quarterback. I think I saw somewhere, you know, feel free to correct me or someone can, you know, dig into the data, but I think that number one stat that's tied to the wins is quarterback efficiency, or it's one of the top three.
Yeah, quarterback passing efficiency.
One of the top things that affects quarterback efficiency is pressure. So we've done none of that, which by default, right, by just compiling that data, makes opposing quarterbacks more efficient because we are not pressuring them. So I just hope, I'm really excited to see what they do, and I hope and pray that that we really kind of step it up and get aggressive.
Love it. No, I think there's a lot of that right now. And, you know, it wasn't so long ago, right? It wasn't so long ago. I mean, from 2005 to 2015 during the Bronco Mendenhall era, it seemed like, I mean, BYU got after the quarterback during that era. How did you feel about that particular defensive era? Were you pretty satisfied as a former BYU great?
Yeah, and I actually think it got even better under Bronco. I think as you went on, and, you know, again, like, hey, I think Bronco's mentor, I think I can say that. I don't want to speak for him, but
yeah,
the way I perceive it is Bronco's, you know, one of the, you know, real influences in his life was Rocky Long. Well,
sure.
For years, Rocky Long coached in our conference. And I think it was probably safe to say that New Mexico wasn't getting top-tier talent. But what Rocky Long did was run a really aggressive style of defense. And he did it with not four stars or five stars or probably not many three stars. But he created a culture of a defensive philosophy that was aggressive. And he did it because he felt that's what he needed to do to compete. He wasn't getting the superstars that were going to always beat people one-on-one. So he put in a system that was kept offenses on their toes and kept them, you know, off center and just brought pressure from every angle known to mankind. And he competed year in and year out in a conference that was BYU and Utah top-heavy and maybe Air Force, and he was always right there, and he was always one of the top defenses in the conference. And then he goes to San Diego State, and, you know, lo and behold, nothing really changes. He goes there and creates a great defensive culture and created some great defenses at San Diego State. So I'm a big believer in that. I'm a big believer in culture and having an identity and becoming that identity. And I think that's what we need to do. And I look at, as a defensive end, right, I watch those positions, and I remember when they signed Bradley and I played with Bradley's dad, Brad, and I.
Yeah.
And we played a four-man front under Fred, and Bradley's dad, Brad, was a pass rusher, big, long Hawaiian. I played behind him as a freshman, and that's what I know. And so I remember when they got Bradley, I thought, it'll be interesting to see what he does. Well, he just became a consensus All-American and an unbelievable pass rusher. And that's because he was fulfilling the destiny of the defense, and he had the body and the skill set that Kyle and Kyle's staff could develop into a hard charge and defensive end that brought pressure on a consistent basis. And I was bummed to see Logan Fano leave because I really thought he could be that guy. There's the other guy from Highland, from Lone Peak that we played against, John Henry.
John Henry Daly.
I'm telling you, man, at the high school level, that dude has a motor the size of Mount St. Helens and just Rush the passer.
Give me a player comp for John Henry Daly. Give me a player comp, because Michael Daly's pretty good too, is his older brother. John's a monster, though.
They're a little undersized, but man, do they rush the passer. And I'm telling you, man, it honestly, like, they're a cheat code for Ryan Denny in that defense when they had him, because it's just one of those things is not like the other, right? You got one of those 11 that is just going redlining every play, and from a pass rushing standpoint, was just like unblockable. I mean, you know, when he did get blocked, that was the challenge. Okay, I got blocked that play. I'm not getting blocked this play. And that, I think, is what Ryan's created, right? Ryan kind of grew up in a similar defense to me. He was a defensive end. He runs a four-man front, really aggressive front, play the run really tough, and then guess what? Freaking win the one-on-one, right? I saw this awesome, if you ever want to Google it, just type in Herm Edwards. It's like Herm Edwards motivational talk defense. And he says, he talks about winning the one-on-one. And he does it in a Herm Edwards impassioned way. And I watch it all the time and I get fired up, and I use it all the time when I try to motivate our team or my position. That's what football's about. It's the effort and winning the one-on-one. Looking across from the guy and say, I'm as good, if not better than you. It's you and me all night, whether it's a receiver on a DB, it's a running back on a backer, it's a three tech on a guard, it's a five tech on an offensive tackle. It's whatever it is. That's football in a nutshell, condensed. And I think, you know, that's what John Daly does, and his brother, and they're, you know, I just think they didn't have a place in the last defense. You know, can you put him at backer? Yeah. But to me, you know, and that's a philosophical thing. I know they're going to run a little 4-3 and a little 3-4, but I see these great defensive ends dropping into coverage. I'm like, why would you take your number one pass rusher and drop him into coverage? Yeah. I don't see Joey Bosa or his brother ever dropping into coverage. Yeah, they're athletic enough to do it. But why would you do that? You know, so I'm hoping some of that permeates, some of that gets down to, you know, to the culture they're going to create defensively. And I would love to just to see in some aggressive defense just making life miserable for other offenses. It would be just a lot of fun to watch.
You heard it here, Cougar Nation. Jim Herman, the legendary Jim Herman, tied for fifth all time in sacks. Tallied. That's a pretty nice ranking. He knows what he's talking about. Still coaching the game. Still lover of the game as well. So, Jim, I salute you. I appreciate you. I'm glad we were able to catch up. I invite everyone to follow, connect with my man Jim Herman on LinkedIn. He handles business development over at HGGC. So if you know of some great businesses that need a little capital, looking to you know, maybe expand, get some macro growth, guys like Jim Herman can get you into that realm. So James Jim Herman, your official name is James, is it not?
I know. I thought the other. I know a couple Jameses. I'm like, you know what? That sounds kind of cool. I just go by James. But then, you know, well, it's on my license. It's on my license. It's on my passport. It's on every medical record that I have. So I'm thinking, hey. But then I go back home, and my high school coach calls me Jimmy, and I kind of like that too. So I'll take Jim James. Most people know me as Herm, which is really interesting because obviously my last name's Herman, and everyone calls me Herman. I was with Steve one time. We were going downtown to this. I was out visiting in San Francisco, and we were in the back of this limo with Ricky Ellison, who was a linebacker for. We played at USC and then was a longtime middle linebacker for the Niners, and Ronnie Locke and Steve and myself. And we were going to this charity event downtown, and they had this big limo pick us up. So the whole time we're going downtown, and I'd met Ronnie a couple times. I hadn't really met Ricky before. We're chit-chatting in the back of this car for, you know, from Palo Alto to San Francisco. It's a 45-minute drive. And so we're chit-talking, and also we go to this restaurant. We go to this event, and afterwards we go get some food. And Ricky and Ronnie are like, hey, Herb, so where are you from? And I'm like, excuse me? You know, and they're like, Herb, isn't your name Herb? And I'm like, no, it's not Herb. It's Herb. It's Jim Herman. And they call me Herb. So I've never been called Herb before other than Ronnie Lott and Ricky Ellison. And I had to correct him and tell him that my name's not Herb. It's Jim Herman. So, yeah, Herm, call me whatever you want. Just call me. And I would love to talk to anyone out there, and I appreciate you having me on, Ben. It's been fun to catch up, and I appreciate you reaching out.
Always a blessing, man. I appreciate you giving us some perspective and getting us caught up on your world. Thanks so much, Herm Dog.
Thank you, bro. And congrats on the birth of your child and your lovely wife and all that stuff. I love following you. It looks like your life is in a great place, and I appreciate all you do.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that, and I feel blessed. Jim Herman, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate him. We're going to go to break. What a segment. Loved his commentary on getting at the quarterback, man. And, you know, me, I'm not one that believes that, like, sacks are the most important stat. But, you know, quarterback efficiency is definitely intertwined with and correlated to the amount of pressure you put on a quarterback, no doubt. I think it's also due to coverage, right? I think as a defensive back, it's like, well, great coverage also contributes to that. But I'm excited to see what Jay Hill, Kelly Papinga, and the rest of this defense has in store for the future going into the Big 12. There's going to be plenty of trials and errors, but I think this is going to be a really good defense a couple of years from now in the Big 12. We're going to go to break. Coming up next, I want to talk recruiting with Moose Bingham. I've been told the Cougar coaching staff has some surprises for us on February 1st, the second signing day. A few aces up their sleeve. We're going to discuss it next with Moose Bingham and what the second signing day will look like for the Cougs. Moose Bingham coming up next. This is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.
Listening to Cougar Sports with Ben Crittle, and it's time for Cruton the Cougars, an inside look at the latest news on the recruiting trail surrounding Cougar athletics.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Crittle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com studios. Stop living with ED, live without it today at Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. It is time for a little Cruton the Cougars, getting some news and notes out there, some opinions as it pertains to the second signing day, February 1st, coming up here shortly, just a few days away. Very excited for it. I bet you this Cougar coach staff has some surprises for all of Cougar Nation. Excited to delve into all of it. Going to be brought to you by our good friends at Fat Daddy's, Fat Daddy's Pizzeria, fatdaddyspizzeria.com. Mention ESPN 960 when you head into any one of the locations of Fat Daddy's, Provo, or Orem location, and get 8 free garlic knots with your purchase. That's right, 8 free garlic knots with your purchase of a delicious pie. Also, they're serving up gelato, even kettle corn flavored gelato. Try it today. Mention ESPN 960 for your garlic knots. Let's get out to
Fat Daddy's Pizza, best pizza in Orem.
Thank you, Brandon Gurney. We got Moose Bingham, Cougar Sports Insider, with us today to talk some Cruton the Cougars. What's up, Moose? How the heck are you?
Ben, I'm a little frightened. That scared me. Made me jump out of my seat, that little Fat Daddy pizza, but I think they owe me some garlic knots, whether or not I buy a pie at this point, because I might have had a heart attack right there.
Pretty funny stuff. Yep, that's Gurney. Doing his impression of Scooby-Doo. Anyway, Moose, are you forecasting any surprises February 1st for the BYU Cougar football team? What are you hearing? What are the Cruton rumblings out there as it relates to this BYU Cougar football team?
So this is a really interesting time. The whole staff wasn't quite in place for the first signing day, and we've had more guys come in and more guys with great connections all over the entire country. So what I'm really looking for the 23 signing class is what PWOs are they going to bring in, and what's going to happen with the roster after spring ball? Who's going to stick around? Who's not going to stick around? Because you and I both know that a preferred walk-on is only a year-long commitment. And with BYU going to the Big 12, a lot of these one-year scholarships turn into four-year scholarships. So I'm most interested in the volatility of the roster at this point, because it's going to be really interesting with that second transfer portal window, what's going on with that. With this signing day, I'm really, really intrigued with what PWOs have come in and who's going to be around. I love the signing of Bridger Davies. I think he's a really interesting prospect. And I think a lot of these guys could be contributors, because it's people that Coach Hill and Coach A-Rod have had relationships with. But during this time, Ben, it's really focusing on who's the 2024s that are starting to get looked at. We've seen a plethora of coaches coming throughout the state, from Washington State to Baylor to Arizona State. UNLV offered everyone and their mother out here, and I love it. Cal Bears have been roaming around here. They got a top 10 prospect in the state last year, and Cade Ulave, they want to see who else they can get out of this gold mine of a state with what prospects we have. So it's been really interesting seeing what's going on. But the surprises I think will happen, I think that we're going to see some more corners coming in. I think we need some more offensive linemen, because BYU lost six offensive linemen in the last little bit. And we got to bring some more in, because not all of these guys will play right away. There's mission guys. There's all sorts of things. But there's going to be some more surprises with the roster after spring ball as well.
Yeah, I like it, man. I think there's some good movement here. I feel like we could get a running back as well. Heard some rumblings that BYU's bringing in a running back, an addition, an add here to the 2023 class. Should be pretty good class, all things considered, especially with your transfer portals. Your transfer rank right now, I think it's 34th overall rank, is 54th in this 2023 signing class. So Eddie Heckard, Paul Miley, Ian Fitzgerald, Waylon Lapuaho, Wyatt Daw, Jackson Cravens, Keaton Slovis, Isaiah Banya, Aiden Robbins, just to name a few of the new prospects coming in, new names, new faces that are going to be competing for playing time this season. What do you make of the replacements? Do you think it's been a net? Has the transfer portal transactions been net negative, net positive, or net neutral in your opinion?
It depends on the position group for me, Ben. So it's really hard to lose a cornerback like Gabe Julielawu. But getting Eddie Heckard is one of the most underrated players in the entire country, and he's a four-star. I think that kid is the absolute truth. Losing the Barrington brothers is really rough, but getting Paul Miley, that's huge. And Ian Fitzgerald, not many people know about him, but he's a stud. And then I love Waylon Lapuaho as well. So those three coming in are really interesting. The D-line, it's not a secret. We needed help. Wyatt Daw, he was a kid coming out of high school that you're like, this kid's good. And watching what he did at SU was really nice. Jackson Cravens, I loved him out of high school. And Isaiah Bagna is an absolute dog coming off the edge. Losing a quarterback like Jake McConnell over the future is rough, but bringing in Keaton Slovis in the junior college transfer, that might soften the blow from that, and I think Keaton Slovis is going to thrive in this type of an offense, and he knows it's his last shot to make it to the league, so he's not going to be joking around. He's going to be studying, and he may not go to class, and I may not care about that. And then Aiden Robbins is a great addition, but I agree with you that we may need another running back in there as well. So overall, I think it's been a net neutral because of what we've lost, but I'm not mad about what we've gained at all. And I think in some position groups, it's a massive positive as well.
Moose Bingham here on ESPN 960 discussing the 2023 recruiting class of BYU Cougar football. Some of the surprises we could see come February 1st. Yeah, I think they're not done yet with offensive line, as you mentioned. I think there's a running back out there. Kelly Papinga alluded to some prospects out in the ATL. Who do you think he could be referring to out there in Atlanta? Anybody that you're hearing about?
So K-Pop actually has great relationships with the coaches in Atlanta, and he loves players from out there. That's one of the advantages of bringing K-Pop on. You can only have so many coaches covering the state of Utah, California, and Texas, but his relationships that he built while he was at Virginia with Atlanta is going to pay massive dividends for BYU, because what I like about the South, you've got a bunch of God-fearing young men that are great Christians that want to go somewhere that they can thrive. Where is a great Christian place with other God-fearing young men that they can thrive and have great culture? Oh, my gosh, it's BYU. Ben, this is a great fit, and I love sending K-pop out there to the South, and I think that he's going to bear a lot of fruit by being out there. And I think Kelly is one of the best recruiters in the entire staff and in the entire country.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's doing fantastic things. Overall, who's your favorite addition to the roster, would you say, out of the transfer portal guys?
out of the transfer portal guys, it's really hard to name a favorite. The biggest need, I believe, is Waylon Lapuaho. I think that he can play tackle. I think he can play guard. And his progression from high school, his junior year, to his senior year was massive. I couldn't see the difference between him and George Miley. It was absolutely incredible. And George went to Baylor, and he absolutely dominated. But those two tackles at Bingham were special. Then, he, as a freshman at Utah State, my goodness gracious, he was the one kid that Utah State couldn't lose, and they did. So I think that is a huge, huge, huge addition, and I really like him. But for needs, I think Jackson Cravens in the middle could be something special and could be the disruptor, and that's what you need out of your interior lineman. And BYU has to change up what's going on up front. They have to be more aggressive, and those D linemen have to win those one-on-ones, or else we're not going to be having as successful seasons as we've had in the past.
Moose Bingham, ladies and gentlemen, talking some Cougar football here on ESPN 960. Moose, tell us what you've been working on, man. Give us kind of a brief update on some of the things you got going on right now.
Ben, I've got a ton of things going on. I was at the AFCA. That was great. I've been signing schools to War Room, lots of colleges. And one of my favorite things that I've been doing, me and Bronson Cafusi have been going to high schools all around the state and teaching kids about the recruiting process through Football Recruiting Pro, footballrecruitingpro.com. And that has been really cool. And Bronson's been showing them their Young Athlete Society as well. So I've been at Payson, Lone Peak, and Springville this week. And last week I was at a plethora of places. Next week I'm trying to get to West and Beaumont and Davis. So it's really cool to see these kids in the state. And they're like, we know these colleges are coming, but I want them coming to me. How do I really show up and show out and be the next kid that Kalani signs or Kyle signs or any of these top tier college coaches?
Love what you're doing, Moose. Let us know. How can we find you? How can we follow you? How can we support you and what you do?
Oh, follow me at MooseB90 on Twitter. I made a TikTok recently, just did a great TikTok with Harvey Longy. That was a blast. You guys go follow that at MooseBingham90 on TikTok for all you youngsters and all you oldsters as well. If you want to watch some fun videos, that's always a blast. But I'm just excited for everything that's going on. The thing I'm most curious about is when you're going to hop in the studio with Greg Rebel, Ben.
Oh yeah, who do you want? Who do you want to be the next color analyst? Yeah, I'm not available. I don't. I guess I could, but they don't want me on there. They hear me enough during the week. They don't want me also commenting alongside Greg Rebel. They hear me Monday through Friday, and then on Saturdays right before kickoff.
For the record, Moose, that's what I've been saying the last hour.
Thank you. There's never enough Criddle. Come on, Ben.
I think there'd be some that
would sell yourself short.
I think there'd be some that would rally, would love it. Yeah, you know, they like my thought, yeah, my process, you know, how I view the game, how I evaluate the game, etc. But there would also be a few out there, because I can be abrasive sometimes, Moose. You can too. Some people love you. Some people don't want to have anything to do with you. I'm the same way. There's no lukewarm with us, Moose, and that's all right. But whereas Riley, I think Riley, when he left BYU, it's an interesting story. When Riley left BYU, there was a segment of the BYU population that blamed him for what happened with his broken back and that he was just injured and playing injured. They thought that he should have benched himself, and they didn't blame the coaching staff for whatever reason. They just blamed Riley for continuing to play football, the game he loved, the game he prepares for, the game that he was very successful at. So there was some enmity there. And then he started coming on to our show. And he's educated. His football IQ is out of this world. He's very congenial. We love him. Love interacting with him. And people started to fall in love with him again. Like, oh, man, I love the luscious-haired lefty. Love this guy. Man, he's so insightful. He's great to talk to. I love hearing him on Ben's show. And I remember when the job opening came up 4 years ago, I was like, Riley's the guy. Riley's be perfect. And he was. All good things come to an end, and that's what's going on with Riley. I would say they're going to target a quarterback and then kind of move on to someone else in the offense on the offensive side of the ball. more than likely, maybe an offensive lineman or maybe a tight end. Maybe it's a wide receiver, former BYU great. But we'll see what happens. But very rarely, I think it's a – I mean, maybe Cameron Jensen. Cameron Jensen would be fantastic if you can get Cameron to step up to the mic and be in the booth. Hit a home run with C. Jensen, 33. I also like the idea of Gary Croton. Shoot, call up Jake Heaps. Ooh. I think he could be great. Another prodigal son returning to BYU, and I think he'd love his commentary. Anyways, we'll see what happens, Moose. We'll see what happens. But you would be great too, Moose. You'd be fantastic.
Oh, I would have a lot of fun, and that is a dream job for everybody. But I think the defensive side, you're selling a lot of the defensive guys short. Dave Nixon, Brian Peel, Cameron Jensen. Those are some of the smarter dudes that I've talked to. Even throw like a Harvey Longy in there or a Bronson Kafusi. I would love listening to Bronson. That'd be way fun. There's so many dudes that are very intelligent in football, not just on one side of the ball, but to be really elite in college, you know, you have to know what the wide receiver's doing on every play. You look for the signs. You look for what they're doing as a cornerback. And that's what makes the game really special, because you have to know everything about it to be successful at that college level and especially the NFL level.
No doubt about it. Moose, we salute you. We appreciate you, man. Thanks for hopping on today.
I freaking love you, Benjamin. Have one heck of a weekend.
Love you more, Moose. Love you more. Appreciate you. That was a Crute and the Cougars segment. And what's your thoughts? Anything that stood out to you, Sean Walker?
Always good stuff out of Moose. I just barely followed at Moose Bingham 90 on TikTok. That's all I wanted to say in there.
You're following him on TikTok?
That's all. That's okay. All.
All right. We're going to go
to
break.
If you're not, you can catch me on the TikTok at Criddle Benjamin.
I am on TikTok. I've done a few TikToks, but it's just for typical like Royal Army brand stuff. I think it's all Royal Army brand stuff or some advertisements on there, mostly advertisements. Anyway, we'll go to break. We'll call that a segment. That was brought to you by Fat Daddy's, fatdaddyspizzeria.com. Cougar Insider Report on the Flip. This is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.